grace and for his mercy. Why don't you love him for just a few seconds? Why don't you just give him some praise? From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same is the name of the Lord to be praised in all of the earth. It's what I was created to do. I was created to praise him. Now I do a lot of stuff. I like to eat fried chicken, but I wasn't created to eat fried chicken. I know it feels a little bit like it when you're eating it, doesn't it? I put in glass sometimes, but now that never feels like I was created to do it, but I wasn't created to do glass work. I was created to make his praise glorious. Sister Cora, you make a mean cake. You do it really well, but you weren't created to bake cakes. You were created to make God's praise glorious. Now, I am completely torn right now. I've got to be honest with you. I'm split right down the middle. Because I've got two things I want to talk about tonight. Now, I prepared one sermon all week long, and yesterday God just hammered me with something else. And then tonight in the middle of the service, he just started. I mean, I've got four sticky notes here. So I want to preach two sermons, but we don't have time to preach two sermons. Let me tell you for just a moment what's on my heart. Last year at ARC, God started to deal with me about going into Gate City. He came down really heavy on me about going into Gate City. I didn't know what to do in Gate City. I didn't know exactly how it was. And you can sit down. You can keep playing. You don't get a break. I didn't know exactly how it was going to go down. I just knew, I felt a burden for that community. But I think Brother Marks preached that Friday night, and we just had an amazing time of prayer. And I just had a burden for that community. Several weeks, maybe even a couple of months went by. And I had a dream, Brother Carr. And in that dream, I was standing in the middle of a parking lot. And I was standing with Dawson and we were talking, which is something we like to do. We like to talk. And about 8 to 10 dogs in the dream, about 8 to 10 dogs came running out and were running around my feet. And they were little like Chihuahua dogs. And I woke up. We were standing in a parking lot. There were dogs running around and I woke up. And Dawson, I think it was a couple of days maybe, but Dawson was riding with me. We were doing glass work and I got a call from a guy that I had done some work for in the past. And he said, I'm going to meet you off of Georgia Road, and there's a little mechanic shop / body shop on the right, and there's a parking lot next to it, and I want you to meet me right there, and we're going to put the windshield in. And so I was doing the work, and Dawson, as he's known to do, was talking to my customer, keeping him entertained while I was putting the windshield in. Thank you. And they were talking, and then all of a sudden, 8, 9 dogs came running out and were circling around our feet. And I just stopped and stared at the ground. And Dawson kind of looked at me, and he said, "What?" I said, "Man, I had a dream that this happened." And that was it. And God just started to mess with me about it. He started to deal with me about it. And then a couple of weeks later, my wife had a dream. And I'm going to just try to get the details right. But in the dream, she was holding a baby. And I believe she was sitting on the ground in the middle of some projects. She was rocking it back and forth. And there was gunfire going in the air. And there were explosions going off in the background. And she said she was just rocking the baby, saying, it's going to be okay. And this guy came by who was very formidable. He was a large guy, and he came running by. And she knew in the dream that was the guy that I was fighting. And then I came running by, and we were fighting. We were involved in warfare. And the battle got intense. And then all of a sudden, the gunfire stopped. It got really quiet. And I came up to her, and she's still rocking the baby. And her arms were covered in blood. She had blood all over. And my arms were covered in blood. And then the guy that we had been fighting came up. And he said, take the baby. Take the baby. We need you here. My wife has never been in the area that we're outreaching, in the inner courts of those projects. Last Saturday night, they were having a block party, 60 to 100 people or so out in the street, and the gunfire started going off. And two guys were shot. It's been on the news this week. Many of you have probably heard about it. While that gunfire was happening, a mother had a six-month-old in her arms and a four-year-old by her side, and they were trying to find cover. And so she sent her four-year-old to the house. She said, run, get in the house. And when he did, he ran across the street, and a truck struck him. And the guy didn't get out of the truck. He stopped and then took off and ran over the kid and killed him. And then in the middle of the night, the mother was seeking refuge at a friend's house, a relative's house, and she was grieving. And some guys broke into her house and stole a bunch of her stuff while she's grieving over her dead son. And then Sunday night, a group was gathering again out in that courtyard, and shots were fired. Now, the shots were fired within 20 minutes before or after we had had a red hot service. And a lady sitting right over here received the Holy Ghost and went down in the waters in Jesus' name. I'm telling you all that to say this. We are in a season of revival. The Holy Ghost is moving and speaking and touching our hearts. Revival has a DNA. It has a composition. It has a structure. Jesus spent 40 days with his apostles after his resurrection. Not much is given to us about what was said in those 40 days. But we can read the book of the Acts of the Apostles and get an idea, get a grasp of what revival looks like. In Acts chapter 1, they came together. They were in one mind. They were in one accord. They were unified. They were together as a people. One of the primary things our adversary is going to try to do in this season of revival is divide us. One of the primary things our adversary is going to attempt to do, if we're going to have revival, is he's going to try to drive a wedge between myself and my brother. Sunday in this altar, God started to deal with me. And this is what he showed me. In this season, when God's opening doors, in this season, when God is speaking to our hearts, in this season where the Holy Ghost is moving as he sees fit. Because you see, God is opening. He's been opening doors for a long time. The doors that we're going to walk into are doors of hearts that God has been preparing for a long time. But whoever God is using, whether it's on the drums or the piano or in the praise group, I've got to get behind it. Whoever God is using, whether it's in the sound booth, whether they're greeting, whether they're ushering, whether they're exhorting, I've got to get behind it. Whoever's in the pulpit preaching, if it's somebody that's my favorite, if it's somebody that's not, I've got to get behind it. If it's Brother Mark's preaching to the church, I've got to get behind him. If it's little Brother Stephen preaching to the church and not big Brother Booker, I've got to get behind it. If it's Brother Booker in the pulpit and he's my favorite, or if he's not, I've got to get behind it. The devil wants to divide the church, but if we're going to have revival in this season, the way that God wants to bring revival, we've got to come together. You're my brother. You're my sister. You're my friend. I think in the Holy Ghost that you could look in your life right now and see pockets of division. See places where you've been struggling to see eye to eye with a brother or sister. I believe it is the will of God before we leave the house tonight that some of that stuff gets resolved in prayer. I'm just telling you in the Holy Ghost, I feel like it's the will of God tonight that some of the division, that you get an understanding and a comprehension tonight that I have to move into a place of unity. I have to be synergistic with the pulpit, which makes me synergistic with the body. And if one can set 1,000 to flight and two can set 10,000 to flight, then what can 300 do? What can 350 do? What can a youth group of 60 do? And then because of the unity, they were positioned for Pentecost. They were positioned for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost was poured out, it wasn't a tarrying time. Because the tarrying comes from our separateness. It came with a rushing mighty wind. It came as the unified Spirit of God upon the unified people of God. It came with power. It came with authority. It came with unction. It came as breath into them. It brought life into people who had spent thousands of years looking for hope and looking for peace and looking for answers. The Holy Ghost fell. And because it fell, something happened in that room of 120 people. The Bible says it was noised abroad. There was an overflow. Like the prophetic waters in the temple. It wasn't just ankle deep water. It wasn't just knee deep water. It wasn't just waist deep or neck deep. But they were so unified, and there was such an unction and a power from God that that water began to make its way out of the temple, and it began to flow down the streets. And there were people from every nation under heaven that began to hear it, and they began to see it, and they began to ask questions. because of unity. Because they were in one mind and in one accord. The other component of revival is sound doctrine. When the moment came that the people were inquisitive about what was happening, when the moment came that there was an audience that was responding, there was a man who was prepared by God. Yes, he had some issues. Yes, he had some failures in his life. Yes, he may not have been everybody's favorite preacher. He may have been a little too cocky. He may have been a little too quick on the trigger in the past. But when the moment came that people began to hunger for what was happening, when the moment came that there was a prepared audience in Jerusalem, Peter stood up and started to preach. He started to preach what Jesus had told him. He preached that you've crucified the Messiah, but God has made this same Jesus both Lord and Christ. And this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. It spread like wildfire at Jerusalem, at Judea, at Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the earth. The presence of God came and brought conviction. I believe it's at the end of chapter 3, maybe the end of chapter 4. God had added 3,000 souls to the church. And miracles were happening, and signs and wonders were happening, because the Bible says that these signs shall follow them that believe. Does anybody still believe in miracles? Come on, does anybody still believe that signs follow them that believe? Come on, are you in a dead church, or do you really believe that in the streets of Gate City we can lay hands on the sick and they recover? Do you really believe that in the streets of your city you can pray for somebody who's in a wheelchair and they can get up? Conviction came. I'm not talking about that fluffy stuff that happens at the charismatic church. I'm talking about real conviction from God. A man named Barnabas got so impressed, so moved upon by the Holy Ghost, so involved, his heart beating with the other apostles, that he went out and sold everything that he had. At the end, I believe, of chapter 4, and laid it at the feet of the apostles. I want you to look at your neighbor right now and say, revival cost me something. I want you to look at him again and tell him, revival has a price tag. When God starts pouring out revival, you can't be stingy. You can't be greedy. You can't be tight-fisted with your possessions. You can't be stingy with your passion. When revival comes, you've got to open up your hands to God. When revival comes, you've got to open up your heart to God. I know this is not a popular message because of the economic issues that we're facing today, but I'm telling you what the Word of God says. If you want revival in your home, if you want revival in your ministry, if you want revival in your city, if you want revival in your school, you've got to open up your hands. You've got to open up your heart. You've got to open up your passion, and you've got to say, God, whatever it takes. God, if it takes my money, you can have it. God, if it takes my stuff, you can have it. God, if it takes my life. But the wave of anointing and revival that sweeps in brings judgment. Now, if you're there when it comes, you can't control the wave. If you're there when revival comes, you can't control the wave. The wave's coming. The wave's here. But how the wave impacts your life is all determined by your response. Because in the beginning of chapter 5, we read about Ananias and Sapphira. It is literally one verse away from Barnabas selling everything and laying it at the feet of the apostles. And I think they liked the attention that it garnered Barnabas because they did a similar thing. They went out and sold their possessions and came and tried to look like Barnabas by laying the same sacrifice. Let me explain something to you. God doesn't need your money. He really doesn't need it. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God doesn't need me. But a willing and a contrite spirit, he's not going to turn away. So in the middle of revival, judgment falls. Because they made a pretense of being sold out, being all in, without real sacrifice. It cost them something, I understand. But the apostle said, when it was in your hand, was it not yours? It was your possession. There was no reason for pretense. If you're going to give yourself away, just give yourself away. But it's your passion. God's not going to twist your arm. God wants to use you. He wants to use what you have to contribute. But judgment came. And for Ananias and Sapphira, the judgment was bad. But riding behind the judgment, the Bible says, and the fear of the Lord fell on them all. And multitudes. They're not counting anymore ones and twos. Multitudes were added to the church. God started pulling people in by the droves. And it got so frenetic. It got so scary, crazy, that they didn't have time to stop and lay hands on everybody. So literally the shadow of the apostles falling on those who were infirmed and sick and diseased began to heal them. Now, I don't know exactly what God wants to do with the remainder of this service. But the prophet of God is coming to this house. We're in revival for the next 2 weeks with Brother Cody Marks. The wave of revival is coming. We are going to go back into Gate City on Saturday. Now, 3 or 4 hours after we're in Gate City on Saturday, there are going to be some shots fired. Sometimes revival is precipitous and scary and dangerous. But we have a cause. There are little 4-year-old babies in that community that we're rocking back and forth. And yeah, some of the blood on us is going to be theirs, and some of it's going to be ours. But we have a cause. Sunday, when we go in to Gate City, before and after, they're going to be living after the rudiments of the world. They're going to be partying. They're going to be drinking. They're going to be fighting. They're going to be carrying on. But we are like generations past, the sailors, like Cortez and Magellan, who got in ships and went out to do business in great waters. We are involved in commerce, but not a commerce that they understand at all. Because what we're engaged in is taking goods from another world and bringing them into that community and into your community and into your school and into your subdivision and into your place of business. We're going in and out in ships laden down with goods from another world. Now, who wants to be a part of revival? Who really wants to be a part of the revival that's coming? I said, who really wants to be a part of the revival that God's bringing to this city? How will it affect your life? How will it affect your family? How will the water impact you? I just feel like, and I'm not going to take any more time with this. We could spend the rest of our night in the book of Acts and we can continue to break down revival. But I feel like we should just have a prayer meeting. I feel like we should just dim the lights. Now, you normally get out of here at 8:50 to 9 o'clock. I just feel like we should dim the lights and pray. I think every dad in this house should bring his family down to the altar or down to a place of prayer and pray, God, consecrate and anoint your house. I believe every business owner in the house should bring your family and your business and that figurative responsibility to a place of prayer. And I believe we should anoint this house tonight. Is anybody in agreement with me on that? Could we just go ahead and anoint the house for revival? Every heart, every family, just anoint the house. Before she brings forth, she travails. Before the fruit of her carrying is manifest, there's pain, there's travail, there's a breaking on the inside. It is the desire of the Holy Ghost tonight that we do that individually, that we do that collectively, that we unify. If you have something between you and a brother, this will be the perfect time to just go and hug them up as tight as you can and say, my conflict with you, it will not interfere with the revival that God wants to bring to this church. If you have aught with your brother or your sister, tonight would be a good time just to make it right. To pray a prayer of repentance and purging over the house. The water, the wave, the wind, the breath of God wants to sweep us into a season of productivity and growth and increase and activity. I believe God can anoint some people tonight that you've never been active in the harvest field. Jesus told the disciples, he said, don't pray for the harvest. The harvest is plenteous. There are people out there right now on your job that God's been dealing with them. It's white. It's ripe. The fruit is there for the picking. God needs laborers. God needs willing vessels. God needs people who can say, I'm afraid, but nevertheless, I'm scared. I've never done that before. I've never taught a Bible study. I've never been involved. I've never hosted a Bible study. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I've never gone and publicly apologized to anybody before. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. God, I'm young. I'm too young. I've never done that before. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Let's just, all across the house right now, just lift your hands. And I want you just to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Just let Him talk. Just let the Holy Ghost talk to you right now. Jesus. 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 Come on, some of you have perspectives. You have paradigms. You can't escape them because it's the house of the familiar. It's the way that you were raised. It's what's normal and acceptable to you. But God can shift your paradigm in a moment. God can give you clarity in a moment of prayer. In a moment of talking, God can shift. Some people, there are some areas in this city that you would normally not go. There are some places you wouldn't go for fear of your safety. But I want you right now just to pray to God and say, God, wherever you want me to go, I want to go. If I have some racism, if I have some negative predisposition, God, I want you to shift that in my spirit right now. Come on, pray that prayer. God, change my thinking. Jesus. In the name of 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 Jesus. Come on, this altar's open. The aisles are open. If you want to pray, just find a place to pray right now. And I want you just to pray the anointing of God over your life. Jesus. Masanda brokosia baha. By your spirit, God. By your spirit, God. Come on, I need somebody to intercede right now. I need somebody to take, hey listen, if you just take one city, if you just take Leeds on your heart right now, and you just begin to cry out to God for everybody who's in it, for all the politicians, for every home, for every family, for every business, just go ahead and cry out to God for Leeds right now. If all you do, if you live in Moody, I want you to just take Moody on your heart right now, and I want you to begin to pray the anointing of God on your city, and the power of God on your city, and that God would cause water to flow in that city. Come on, if you go to Moody High School, I want you to take that high school on your heart right now. If you operate a business in Homewood or in Birmingham, I want you just to pray God's anointing, God's power in your community. No, I don't think you understand. There's some guy in your subdivision like Kevin. There's some guy like Kevin. The word went forth on a Tuesday night in prayer meeting that for every one person who puts the gun to their head and pulls the trigger, there are thousands in this city every day who contemplate doing so. And when that word was going forth, there was a man, Kevin, on the other side of this city who had the gun in his hand and who was contemplating putting it to his head. And just a few days later, he was on the front stoop of this church. Somebody needs to cry out for somebody who doesn't have an answer and who doesn't have a prayer and who doesn't have hope. But you've got the answer and you've got the prayer and you've got the hope. What I want to do for just a moment is I want us to unify. I want to get all the ladies in the house over on this side, and I want you to make a circle. Just make a big circle right in this altar area. I need a couple of praise singers to come up, and we're gonna sing this song that LaTiffany's playing right now. I want the guys to come up right now, and I want you just to make a circle right in this area. And I want you, we're just gonna pray a corporate, a collective prayer. We're gonna get in one mind and one accord. We're going to get on the same page. We're going to pray for the same thing. I want everybody praying for revival. I want everybody praying the anointing of God on this city. Come on, I want you to pray with fervor right now. In the name of Jesus. Everybody who can physically. If you're not, if you're weak and you need to sit, I want you ladies, I want you to slide over and make some room right in here for them to sit. But I want everybody to be linked up who can. If you need a sit down, just have a seat. Don't make yourself in pain or uncomfortable. If you're one of our elder gentlemen, let's slide over, Dad, for just a moment. Let's just make some room right here for Pawpaw and Brother Jerry to have a seat. But we want everybody connected. We want to get on the same page. If you want revival like you want your next breath, I want you just to cry out. I want you to link up with somebody else right now and just cry out. I want you to tune out all the distractions and everything else around you. We're just going to unify right now. Are you ready to unify? Are you ready to collectively cry out for this city? Come on, I want you to cry out for where you live right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name. Come on, make it roar in this place right now. Make it roar in this house right now. Come on, Zion, cry out!